Hello, friends, and welcome back into March to the Pod, presented by Eternal Roofing. Hey, the Cats brought home another Conference USA Championship, this time women's golf. We'll give that some talk here up front. Then we're going to find out from Ben what we should expect from the Cats spring scrimmage Saturday morning and what's happening Saturday evening that you're going to want to be a part of. Men's basketball had a really, really good week, receiving some amazingly good news. We're going to have updates from the Bat and Ball Sports. I'm your host, Corey Hogue, the non-FBS insider at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Find me on your favorite social media channel, at Corey Hogue Sports, all one word, C-O-R-Y-H-O-G-U-E Sports. I'm joined by the creator and manager of Sports of SHSU, again, all one word, on Twitter and Instagram, Chief Operating Officer of the Cat Fund, and a proud Bearcat alum, Ben Sorrells. Ben, the women's golf team went into today with a chance. Slim margin, they were at the top. But boy, did they leave no doubt today.
That's for sure, and I know we're coming in on the high here with another conference championship. The men's basketball team winning a couple weeks ago, and now the women's golf picking up the second conference championship in Conference USA for Sam Houston. But, yeah, came into the day two strokes ahead of New Mexico State. I think it even got down to one stroke there on the front nine. But, man, once they hit the turn, they're kind of the middle holes. I mean, they really, really turned it on and finished the day at minus nine, ended up winning the tournament by 14 strokes. And just a really impressive week for the ladies. And it's back-to-back years with a conference title. They won the WAC last year. Now they've won Conference USA. And the dominance from our golf program has just continued. And it's really cool to see, especially going from the Southland to the WAC and now Conference USA.
Yeah, they could play. And when you're pretty close, you go that turn on the back and everyone else struggles and you take off. If it was conditions, they didn't bother you. If it was nerves, that didn't bother you either. And so congratulations to the Cats on that championship. And that puts them into the NCAA national tournament.
It does. Yeah. So we'll see what regional they get put into. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's a team that's just continued to win. And I know a couple of years ago, I think they won the conference, but didn't get to play because of COVID, and got to play last year. So good to see them back in a regional, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. We want to send another congrats out to the bowling team as well, getting to the Final Four, the bowling semifinals. Fantastic season. It was all Conference USA in the Final Four there. And the Cats came up short in the semifinals of both their matches, but it was a fantastic season for them.
It is, yeah, and it's another program that just has continued to dominate no matter what conference they're in, and they've dominated for a while now. I mean, it was a decade ago they won a national title, and 10 years later they're competing for another. So just sustained success, which has been a lot of fun to follow and watch.
Yeah, and that is nice. You know, this morning I was taking – or yesterday morning, I was taking Gabe to school, and there's a house on one of the streets we go down by the school that's getting roof work done. And, I mean, I don't know. That I'm not going to say that Gabe listens to this podcast religiously, but the first thing he said was, "Dad, you think they got Eternal Roofing?" The boy's a genius, really, Ben.
He is. He is an avid listener of March to the Pod and the number one fan of Eternal Roofing. And speaking of Eternal Roofing, there is actually a house in my parents' neighborhood that has Christmas lights up. They might not be like the most Christmassy lights, but they are Christmas lights, and I've never seen Christmas lights up at this time of the year, but they have them up, and so I'll have to take a picture of it next time I go by, but I thought that was interesting.
It's never too early to get your Christmas lights up.
Yeah, and they can do it. They can do that too, not just the roofing.
Yeah, hey, you know, you should drop by and leave them like a little like flyer for Eternal Roofing or March to the Pod, you know?
Oh, yeah, and It's a big house, too. It's three stories. It's got a pool. It's right on the lake. I mean, I think you could do a bang-up job.
Sounds miserable.
What a tough life.
Yeah, it's a tough life. You know what's not miserable, though, is that work you're going to get from our friends over at Eternal Roofing. They do a fantastic job with their residential roofing, commercial roofing, general contracting services throughout the Hill Country and Houston area. And it's never too early to get a hold of them and ask them, and get on that calendar now, because Ben, I don't know if you looked, but we're mid-April and Christmas is coming, man. So get on that calendar, get scheduled to get those lights up. And hey, as opposed to the crazy people over there near Ben's parents, they'll take them down for you. You don't even have to worry about that.
Yep.
Give them a call.
Yeah, they'll do your roof, and then once they're done with the roof, they'll put the Christmas lights up, and then they'll take them down a couple weeks later.
And hey,
the trifecta.
If you want them up right now, I'm sure they could figure out a way to make that happen for you too, right?
Yeah, and I actually saw, I think it was on either Instagram or maybe Taylor's Facebook, that they were doing, I think, an 8,000 square foot house, the entire roof, and so a big project for them. So if they can do that, they can do yours.
If they can do that, they can do almost anything when it comes to roofing, and we already knew that, and that's why we want you to give them a call in the Hill Country office. It's area code 830-251-5673. The Montgomery office is area code 936-215-8539. And like Ben said, get a hold of Taylor. If you want to email him directly, he's the owner. He's the man. He's the man that has all the plans around Eternal Roofing. So contact Taylor at EternalRoofingTX.com. And in the meantime, go to their website, EternalRoofingTX.com, and take a look at the gallery of work that they do. It is fantastic. You won't be disappointed. Here's a question for you, Ben. Are we going to be disappointed after the Cat scrimmage on Saturday?
I don't think so. If it's anything like the first couple that I've been to, I think fans are going to be really excited. I know the first one that I was at was very evenly matched between the offense and the defense, had some fireworks from the offense, and defense looked good. And then this last one was largely won by the offense. And so I think some fans would be happy to see the offense do well after these past couple seasons that have been a little rough on the offensive side of the ball. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good day at Bowers on Saturday at 11 o'clock for the spring game.
That just means they're going to complain about the defense. That's all that means, Ben.
I guess. Yeah. We'll see, but I think people will be excited to see some offense.
We had a saying in the Army, if you're not bitching, you're not happy.
There you go.
And let me tell you, I had a whole lot of happy soldiers around me. That's all I'm going to say.
Very happy.
Very, very, extremely happy soldiers. All right, so last week we talked about the scrimmage, how it really tend to focus on specific game scenarios. What was the last scrimmage like?
Yeah, so this one, every drive but two, the drive just started on its own 25-yard line and worked its way till it either stopped or scored or whatever the situation was. So that was probably 80-90% of it. And then there were two drives there at the very end that were two-minute drills. So this one was kind of just a normal scrimmage. Every drive is starting at the 25, kind of where it would usually after a kickoff. So not as much situational stuff, but still a lot to see out of those drives.
Yeah, those are the ones where coaches tend to learn the most when they – like those are the ones they want to really judge that film, who's doing well each snap, each play. Situational can tell you a lot about how they handle certain things sometimes and execute, but that can be cleaned up. What you need is, you know, your typical scrimmage, which is what they had last Saturday. Okay,
right.
So what are we going to – What do you think we should see on this Saturday? What kind of a scrimmage do you think they're going to have?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty balanced, especially with guys continuing to get reps on both sides of the ball and the offense being down so many weapons. I know we saw in the first scrimmage that it can be a little inconsistent at times, so I think we may see some of that, which I think is okay. And then another thing to look for is three quarterbacks have all been split in the first team reps, Hunter Watson, Jace Bauer, and Grant Gunnell. Hunter Watson will not be going through the spring game. He went through a little minor knee procedure this week. Everything's fine. He'll be ready for training camp, but he won't be there. So we'll just see Bauer and Gunnell, maybe a little of Silas Gomez coming in, kind of filling in those reps. So I think it should be evenly matched. It should be a lot of fun. We'll be competitive. from what I'm hearing, it's going to be scored as offense versus defense, so the offense can earn points, and then the defense can earn points as well for things like sacks, tackles for loss, interceptions, that kind of stuff. So it should be a lot of fun, and the two quarterbacks we'll probably see a lot of are Jace Bauer and Grant Gunnell.
Yeah, and it's you mentioned that Carter Yates, we mentioned he was down there in Huntsville last week, and he put out some stuff on the Dave Campbell's TexasFootball.com website, where you can find it at TexasFootball.com. Also, you can find recent American Southwest Conference realignment news.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's what you're here for, right? You're listening to the Sam Houston podcast to hear about the ASC Division III football. Okay, no, well, I realize you're not. But if you subscribe, you get all of that. Plus this, man, these insider pieces that these guys have done, I think they're outstanding. I really think they are. But I want to say, a lot of the stuff that he had in here, people could also read off of Cat Fund, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. And as little as $10 a month, you can join at cat-fund.com. So be a Cat Fund member, be a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber, and make sure you're plugged into all the latest news.
But he mentioned Chris Murray, who we talked about as I'm a fan of, as a guy who covered the Hershey Huskies. He also mentioned Kavian Gaither, is a linebacker that that Skylar Cassidy loves. Surprise. I imagine Kavian Gaither is a linebacker that most any defensive coordinator would love.
Oh, yeah. I mean, conference player of the year, check. Second leading tackler last year, check. Great guy, great player on and off the field. Can't ask for much more.
I mean, I don't know. Is that good? I don't know.
He's good.
That's pretty good. So he's going to run his 4.25. We knew that too, but there was something there was a tidbit I picked up in there, and I'm going to put it out here that I didn't know. I didn't know Skyler's dad was a Division I coordinator, defensive coordinator for 22 seasons. He was raised under it. He may be 29 in the physical body, but when it comes to football ability, mind, this guy's got to be well into his 40s.
Oh, yeah. And he's been around it his whole life. And I think he started coaching really at the age of 18. I think he was – I forget what role he was in, but he's been at Texas State. I think he had some time at Auburn. He's made a bunch of different stops. And only 29, but he's got quite a bit of experience.
Yeah. And, hey, I go to TexasFootball.com, find that story by Carter. He did a great job. He talks about the quarterbacks that we've discussed here. He goes through a lot. He goes through the running back room, the wide receiver room. He understands they're all injured, like we talked about here, too, right? And then he goes through offensive line, tight ends. There's a lot of good information he has in there, so check that out as well. All of this, Ben, gets started Saturday morning, bright and early at 11 a.m. Like, see, here's what I don't get. If I was an athletic director, I'm making this a full event, right? I'm having parking lot and tailgate open at 11, right? So I could sell some things, get some people, you know, some alcoholic drinks, get them happy, get them into the stadium about 2, start the game around 2, right? Like you do a normal Saturday. And then do your scrimmage, get done, and then everybody goes over to Johnson Coliseum for the football auction. I think that would just add another layer of excitement here. You know, I'm sure there's a reason. Probably they want to go change, shower, get dressed for the auction. You know, whatever, right? Like.
I think that's part of it. I think a lot of it, too, is there's a baseball game on campus at 3, so I think you go to scrimmage at 11, you go to baseball at 3, you go to auction at 6, and make a whole day out of it. So I think that's kind of where the thinking is. You can increase the people going to baseball, maybe the people that were going to baseball come to football, and then everybody go to the auction afterwards. So that's kind of my thinking behind it.
That could be, too. The other events going on around campus definitely have an influence on the timing of these things. I'm not sure if 3 hours between baseball game and start of auction is going to be ideal, though.
Yeah, I mean, college baseball games, they might finish in 3, they might finish in 5. You never know.
They might finish in 2, 2.5 as well.
They might finish the next day.
They might. You do. You truly don't know, but at the same time, this is a completely off the rails topic. I think the pitch clock has been outstanding for all of baseball.
I don't know.
I'm a fan, though. These games.
Give me more
move.
Baseball.
Well, you're getting baseball faster.
I mean, I guess.
I'm
a traditionalist.
You were wasting a half hour of your life watching men stand around and grab their crotch.
And I got to be at the ballpark longer.
Oh, all right. So you spent more of those $10 beers.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's why, honestly, man, I love baseball. Baseball is by far my favorite sport. I'll say it over and over again. But 3 hours, man, that's too much this day and age. And I think what they've done on all levels, and college led the way on this. College had that pitch clock long before, had these rules, and then Major League Baseball experimented in the minor leagues. Like you didn't get the experiment done in NCAA. Well, whatever. I think there could be better coordination between MLB and NCAA. I really think there could. I think they've gotten a little better timing the Major League Baseball draft and things away from College World Series. You know, back in the mid-90s, dating myself when I was in high school and attending College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, guys were finding out if they were getting drafted on a day they're playing a College World Series game, which was flat out ridiculous. So
yeah,
at least some of that has improved. There's just a whole lot more, in my opinion, that they could work together on and improve baseball as a whole, because we all are learning this stuff. I like what they've done. I like the 18-second timer. I like the on-base timer. And I know this is where we get tricky. As long as we're able to use some common sense sometimes and, you know, understand that there's times we need to restart a clock. And at the games I've been at and most of baseball I've seen from minor leagues to majors and everything, they do a good job of that, actually. And I think it has improved the pace of game, and it's definitely made it more enjoyable for me to watch it, too, because I'm not having to worry about staying up till 11 o'clock at night to catch the darn Rangers.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I really don't care. I mean, the pitch clock, it is what it is. It doesn't really bother me. But the thing that does bother me is, I know at the MLB level there being no shift. It's just like telling an NFL defense they can't stack the box. I mean, I just feel like it's a little silly, so. Pitch clock, whatever, the shift, put the players where you want them to be.
Well.
Football segment, we're on defensive baseball alignments.
No, here we are. In fairness, we're pretty much done talking about football. But we'll get back to football in a minute. You know, when it comes to the shift, did I enjoy watching a ball hit to right field that would normally be a single caught by the second baseman making a long throw? No, man. Like, I just think that's where it got to be a little bit ridiculous. I'm okay with what they do. They allow them over to second base. I don't know that it's been a big difference, right? I haven't heard a lot of the teams and managers and players complaining. Because I don't know that batting averages have gotten a lot higher from it either. I think a lot of it is about locating your pitches to where your fielders are positioned.
Right. No, I agree with that part. Statistically, I don't think there's been a massive change, but I just don't know I guess the NBA doesn't allow defensive 3 seconds, but
that's true.
I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah, you know, you're one of them no change guys. Nobody likes change.
I know, I'm the old head here, right?
it is something to be like. I would think normally I would be the traditionalist, but I'm not on a lot of these areas.
And I feel like I am for a lot of them, which is funny.
Well, I was when I was younger, right? Like as I've grown, I've kind of softened on a lot of that, and I'm not sure if that's called progress or a mental disability.
Maybe some of both. Who knows?
could be a little of all of it. It really could.
There you go. Hey, that's how we wrap up the football.
That's right. Back to football. The auction on Saturday night at 6 p.m. If you can attend, they have general admission tickets available. And they had some items they posted the other day, about a week ago, that they have available there. Football from the national championship game in Frisco. Some signed memorabilia, helmets, old jerseys, man. The blue jerseys got some signatures on there. A lot of good stuff there. Get out to the auction. Help them raise money. This money goes to help with some of their educational but also nutritional needs, because the school has made a commitment to this program to bring them in over summer, and to do that costs a good amount of money. And this is a time where if you want to see, I'll say it all the time, you're going to hear it more often. If you want Sam Houston to get better, part of what it's going to take is a lot more money. So this is an opportunity for you to get out there and give to the team that you know is going, you get something, and this is going to the actual team, right? Like, I mean, this isn't getting siphoned off by some sort of committee, 5% here, nothing like that, you know?
Yeah, no money laundering here. And if you're a Cap Fund member and you buy a ticket, you get access to a meet and greet with Casey Keeler beforehand in the football field house. So that's a cool thing. And then my favorite item at the auction, it wasn't posted, but it is Jaquez Ezard's game-worn national championship jersey.
Ooh.
So that is going to be a very, very cool one.
Have you been stacking the ones so that you could put in down some bids on that?
Stacking the ones and adding a couple tens as well, maybe a couple hundreds.
Damn, I need to go party with you some more.
Right? I'm a big partier, yep.
Yeah, one tens and hundreds, apparently.
Right.
You lost me at tens.
Right.
Oh, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be fun. And listen, these are like we said, there's no money laundering with any of this. And the Cap Fund members having an exclusive deal, that's a big, big advantage there. Get to meet and greet with Casey Keeler. And hey, tell him what defensive alignment you think is best to work. That's your opportunity to tell him the things that you want to say when you're watching the football games.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe you could call a play for a game, too.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
I know some schools have done that for spring games.
Yeah, well, hey, you could auction that stuff off.
And I've seen that, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways of making, and, you know, I believe his name was Dan, the fan engagement guy. I'm sure he's got a pretty full plate right now.
Oh, Adam, the new one?
Is it Adam?
Yeah.
I know, yeah, it's a normal name. We'll go Adam. I know he's got a whole lot on his plate with this, but I'll be interested to see what some of that stuff becomes, because there are a lot of opportunities that you don't even always notice that are chances to and opportunities to raise money, or maybe if you're not raising money, you're connecting with more of the local community, getting them emotionally invested into your Bearcat football program.
Right. I mean, it's going to take everybody. I know I've said that a lot, but it takes the community, it takes the students, it takes the alumni, it takes the fans, and got to continue to grow those relationships. And fan engagement guy is definitely something we need, and I'm hoping he can turn the ship a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, make it an elementary kids' day, too, or something, you know, like, you're somehow getting that level of connection to the Bearcats, you know, to the younger generation, to their parents, and then you can, you know, hey, I want to go watch a football game, I got the schedule, give out magnetic schedules into the schools or something, you know, that's all part of getting people to fall in love with the Bearcats and want to come support them. Sometimes you got to spend money to make that happen.
Yep, spend money to make money.
Yeah, it means you got to have money.
We're trying.
I ain't out there partying with hundreds, I'll tell you that.
Got to up your game.
I've got that bank account like Kevin Hart.
Hey, maybe just enter the transfer portal. See what you can get out there.
Dude, I saw a Cowboys fan entered the transfer portal yesterday and immediately came out of the portal and committed to the Texans, and I just thought that was really fast.
Yeah.
I thought he should give it some time.
That was quick. He probably had the do not contact on him in the portal, right?
Probably.
He knew where he was going.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot of things I've been learning about this portal lately.
Yeah, me too.
Well, we're not going to get into that right now because we are a podcast on the Republic of Football Network and an extension of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Please like and subscribe to the podcast and follow us on the various social media platforms, including Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find us at March to the Pod. It's all one word, the word March, the number two, the pod. And if you're watching us on the YouTube page, special hello to you. And also, we would like to encourage everyone, when you go to texasfootball.com and check out Carter's story, we would greatly appreciate it if you would become a subscriber for $50. That's the top level right now of subscription service. There are lower levels at texasfootball.com, but for $50, you get three magazines, you get all the insider notes, and trust me, those are coming more and more. You're getting more of the inside information that's coming from maybe some of the non-FBS colleges. If you're following, you've got the high school podcast, Tep and Step. We know how much they'll say you want to know about high school football. That is the one that I listen to learn what's going on around the state of Texas. So much, and so much more is coming. Plus, you get the summer magazine before it hits shelves. You get a recruiting magazine in November, and you get a basketball magazine. Or, yeah, around that same time, you're going to get basketball and a recruiting magazine. It's a great deal. You also have access to all of the content at TexanLive.com, which is we're pretty soon, I think, Ben, you're going to see us bring all of that under one platform.
Hey, Texan Live is growing. Your high school needs – you've got everything there.
It's fantastic. And if we can get Texan Live onto texasfootball.com, all of that on the same page, same landing page for folks, that would help a lot, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's already doing a bang-up job.
Yeah.
As it is.
But also, I would like to remind you where I am on the totem pole at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. That would be the very bottom. And before you – No, I just want everyone to know that's where I want to be, right? Low expectations, low productivity, right? Like, that's how it goes, isn't it?
Right.
We'll cut
this part out. We won't let Tepper hear this part.
Oh, I don't care. But honestly, he knows because I don't want responsibilities, right? Like, I already have enough responsibilities. If I'm not at the bottom of the organizational chart, that means I've added more responsibilities, and I'm just not for that.
There you go. Love life as it is.
That's right. Dude, I am happy where my feet are, right?
There you go.
that's what I am doing. You know who else is happy where their feet are? People who had work done from Eternal Roofing and our friend Taylor Andrus over there. And that's because they have a good quality roof. We've told you about the Christmas lights, and we told you about how, you know, you need to make sure you get there and what they can do. But when it comes to your roof and all the work they do, they use superior equipment. They have CertainTeed shingles. They are known for their ability to just resist any weather event, hopefully, that comes. They last forever, and they look great. Give them a call today. Oh, listen, we're in the spring season. We're in April. This is a time of year where we have to kind of keep an eye on the weather throughout the state of Texas. So they will offer you a free detailed roof inspection. The service is fast, very professional, no high pressure, and the warranties are just exceptional. Give them a call today. The Montgomery office, area code 936-215-8539. Hill Country is area code 830-251-5673. Or you can email Taylor at eternalroofingtx.com. That's Taylor at eternalroofingtx.com. It was the best week for men's basketball, Ben.
Yes.
This was one of those weeks where, you know, like I even saw Coach Mudge post on Twitter. Like it was such a good week. Coach Mudge got on Twitter
twice, yeah, because we had two pieces of good news.
I know, right? Tell us about it, man.
Yeah, so the first one happened. I got wind of it Friday. That Dorian Finister, the K-State transfer, was on a visit to campus, and Saturday morning we found out he committed. A guy that was a really high three-star recruit coming out of high school in Louisiana. Went to K-State out of high school. Also had offers from U of H, I think Texas A&M, East Tennessee State, a couple others. He's a 6'5 guard, extremely athletic for the guard position, has great size, and didn't see a ton of time at Kansas State this last year, but when he did, he made the most of it. He had a four-game stretch in Big 12 play this last year where he actually got 15-plus minutes, and I'll just read off those stat lines. So UCF, I think he played about 20 minutes, 6 points, four rebounds, two assists. West Virginia, I think, was a little less than 20 minutes, 6 points, two rebounds, two assists. Texas Tech, he had about 15 minutes, 4 points, three rebounds. And then Baylor played 20 minutes and had 5 points, five rebounds, and three assists. So when he got on the court, he performed pretty well at the Big 12 level. And the Big 12, I think, is far and away the best basketball conference in the country. And so if you can play at that level, you can definitely play at the Conference USA level. And I'm really excited about that. So that was the first of two really big pieces of news.
Yeah, look, that one is fantastic, because when he did get time on a very good K-State team, he did well. Like, you know, those were half games. You double that, and that'll tell you what you could expect on a whole game, and maybe give you an idea of what he could produce at Sam Houston.
Yeah, and that was just as a redshirt freshman. So he's got 3 years left. And so he's starting to reach the years where you're really expected to develop as a college athlete. And so when he got time, he was good. And then I think there was a game in his true freshman year, I'm trying to pull it up, where he played Incarnate Word and had a really, really nice game. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, he had 10.7 rebounds and four assists against Incarnate Word. And he played a decent amount in that game as a true freshman. I know Incarnate Word's not the best team, but when he played, he was really good.
I don't appreciate you setting me up like this, Ben.
Oh, goodness.
I don't appreciate this, Ben. You can't come on here bad-mouthing the schools that I cover, man.
You also got to be honest.
Yes. UIW last year, the year that his freshman year, they weren't good. That's why they had a coaching change. So
yeah, but that was the one game where he played more than 15 minutes as a true freshman, had 10.7 rebounds and four assists. And so that was as a true freshman. And yeah, I mean, when he's played, he's looked really good. And I think he's going to play a lot. He's going to be a redshirt sophomore next year and should be a really big piece of this team.
It's a great addition. And there was another fantastic addition. But it wasn't an addition, but yet it was. Because it was. Lamar Wilkerson had entered the transfer portal, and now he's back at Sam Houston. Ben, let's spend a few minutes on this one. What happened that led Lamar Wilkerson to return?
Yeah, nothing that I know for sure, but just a couple of things that I think might have happened is, one, I know he was kind of on the border of what he wanted to do originally, whether that be staying or going. I didn't know that part. And so when he entered, it wasn't too surprising. But it really just feels like he wanted to test the waters and see what was out there. And maybe he didn't see what he liked. Sometimes maybe you only have a lateral move or a move down, and it's just not worth going somewhere else, and the best move is to come back. So it's a team that he knows he's going to be the guy on. He's going to be the star. He's going to be able to take shots and going to be comfortable in the system. And so I think that definitely played a big part of it, and maybe the market that he expected to be there just wasn't there. This has been a very guard-heavy year in the portal, at the D1 level at least, and so I think that could have played a part in it as well. The big market is very thin. the guard market has been very saturated. So those are just some of my thoughts on why it might have happened.
You see, it's a lot like any sport. Basketball is doing the same. This is what I think the transfer portal is going to work. Some of the issues, not all of them, but some of the issues with the portal, if your concern is that too many kids are entering, I think that's going to work itself out. Because there is a very large percentage of players that enter the portal that do not end up at a new place. It's close to 50%. And so a lot of it is based on need. And I've talked with football coaches and, you know, football this week, let's just break it down, Ben. Football this week had a guy enter, defensive back enter the transfer portal, what, yesterday? Today?
Yeah, Crosby today, yeah.
Yeah, then we're recording this on Wednesday. I believe I changed my calendar. I believe it's Wednesday, April 17th right now when we're recording.
It is, yeah.
Good. At least I remembered to change my calendar today. Anyway, back on to where I was, if I can even remember.
The cornerback market in football.
Yeah, like it's like the guard market, dude. It's saturated. They're a dime a dozen. Running back market. You need a running back? They're all over the place. You need wide receivers? You need skill position in football? They're everywhere. You need guards in basketball? They're everywhere. You need forwards? There's a good supply. You need big men? They're prime real estate. And it works the same in football. You want big men? You want offense and defensive linemen? That's prime real estate. And if you're not one of those, your chances of getting taken out of the portal, ending up at a new location, are slim and none. And also, I want to say this, too. For Lamar to be able to enter the portal and explore and come back, and, I mean, I'm not sure – how scholarship situation works if there was money left. But a lot of times in these situations, players will leave, then want to come back, and the school's already moved on and used up that scholarship money. So,
right, yeah, that's definitely part of it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part. So credit to Coach Munch, credit to Lamar for exploring and then realizing, hey, this probably ain't going to work out the way I thought it would. That's fine. Coach Mudge said, hey, appreciate it. Come on back and let's go rewind this and do it back again.
Yeah, and going into next year, you returned five of your top eight scorers, and all those guys, I believe, are seniors. So you've got Lamar, obviously. You've got Cam Hoefner, Kean Scroggins, Damon Nicholas, and Marcus Boykin. And that's a really, really impressive core five that you can return at the mid-major level. And I'm sure you saw that stat in the Final Four where I think 18 of the 20 starters were juniors or something along those, at least a junior.
Yeah.
And experience wins in college basketball nowadays. It's not the freshman like Coach Calipari back in 2010 or 2012 at Kentucky. It's the experience that's going to win. And so you've got five guys returning that are all seniors that could all slot into your starting lineup, and then you've added in the portal as well. So I'm really excited about what this team's going to look like. I think you just need to add one more big.
Can I punch a slight hole in what you said there?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, you were – Jesus. Oh, good Lord. Sorry. Refresh me again. I totally lost train of thought right there. I got distracted out of the corner of my eye.
I was just saying Sam Houston returned five out of the top eight scorers.
The experience.
Yeah, the experience.
It's not just this year. The experienced college basketball teams every year have been the ones that have typically been more successful. That's why Calipari only has one title. Mm-hmm. You know, those young guys get in there, and it typically is your more experienced teams. There are outliers. There always will be. But typically it is your more experienced teams that do win that there. Now, that's just a little hole. But here's what I do want to say. I want to go ahead, and I am going to project Dorian Finister into the starting lineup at some point next season.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. And I think it remains to be seen. He could be a primary ball handler. If he is, I think he could be the guy that slots into the starting lineup. Losing Jaden Ray was a big loss. Him and Marcus Boykin were your primary ball handlers. So if he kind of turns into more of your primary ball handler more than Boykin does, I could definitely see that, because Boykin does a lot of other stuff. I mean, he defends really well. He rebounds well, super athletic, finishes at the rim. Not the best ball handler, but he does a lot of other things well. So if Fenister can step in and be that ball handler, I could definitely see it.
My headset unplugged there for a second. Right about the time you said he's not the best ball handler, but I think I knew where you were going on that.
Right.
And Lamar's a 2-3 guy, maybe a 4. You might be able to put him down there if you want to go small lineup. So you don't want him as your primary ball handler. And you're right, man. Losing Jaden Ray, that's the one position that I think the Bearcats were the most thin on when it – I mean, everybody needs a big man. But outside of that, I thought ball handler is still an area I'd like to see Mudge address a little bit more.
Yeah, probably need one guy who can come in and at least just kind of be a primary ball handler, maybe doesn't score it a ton. The Fenister addition helps. Maybe Marcus Boykin can develop there a little bit. But would be nice to add at least one more. And then I know we do have Rhode Island transfer Jeremy Fowina, I don't know how to say his last name, but he averaged 6 points and 3 rebounds a game as a true freshman at Rhode Island this last year. Can shoot it from three a little bit. Really good size at 6'11". So he's a guy that can maybe fill in and be the second big beside Kean Scroggins.
Man, it has not been a good episode for me, man. I've lost train of thought. My pull out the headset. This is not one I'm putting down in the vault to keep, I'll tell you that.
No, but hey, that's okay. That's what I'm here for, right?
That's right. It happens.
Jeremy Fowina, that's how you pronounce it. Want to make sure I got that right.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you looked it up.
Yep, 5.3 points and 4 rebounds a game as a redshirt freshman. 6'11", and actually shot at 32% from three this year at 6'11", so could be a nice addition.
As long as you're limited in the number of those you're taking, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, I don't – and you bring up a point there that I hadn't even thought about, but – you do lose a decent amount of 3-point shooting in Davin Barnes leaving, Owen McGlashan leaving off the bench, Jaden Ray leaving was a good 3-point shooter. And so you have Lamar back, you have Cam Hoofner back, but you really don't have a lot of pure shooters outside of those two. So that might be something that Coach Mudge targets on the bench, maybe at the 2-3-4 kind of position, as a guy who can stretch the floor and shoot it well.
All right. So here's what you got to find, Coach Mudge. I need you to find a ball handler who is just dead aim from three-point land, okay?
Easy, right?
Yeah, they're also a dime a dozen, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what costs a little more than a dime, but not much more?
What's that?
The cat fund, man.
Yep.
Hey, that meet and greet, tell us more about that. Tell us more about the things going on at Cat Fund, and then let people know how they can get involved, so that if they're like, man, I'd like to meet Casey Keeler, tell them how easy it is to become a member.
Yeah, cat-fund.com. We've got all of our membership levels there, starting at as little as $10 a month. You can sign up and join, and once you join, you'll get access to all the exclusive content on Cat Fans, as well as additional things depending on what level you sign up with. But yeah, to get access to the meet and greet, sign up, purchase a ticket, email us at catfund2022@gmail.com. Let us know you purchased your ticket. So we got you down in about 5 o'clock in the field house, just outside of Bauer Stadium. We'll meet there kind of in the trophy room with Casey Keeler for a little bit, and then head over to the auction. So if you have anything you want to say to Coach, it's a good way to do it.
So you're telling me if people were to sign up today, tomorrow, Friday, and then send the email, that they could be in there Saturday giving their coaching advice?
Yeah, easy as that. Come on, Corey.
Let's go, people. Do it.
Looking at you, too. Whatever you got to say to Coach.
Hey, me and Coach are good.
Yeah.
I ain't got no problem.
No.
I haven't talked to Keeler in a while, but no, Keeler is awesome, man. He is, and he understands. I don't think I've done anything to make him mad. There may be some non-FBS goals I can't say that about, but
we're all good here at Sam.
We're all good at Sam right now. You know who else is all good and was an alum at Sam?
Taylor Anderson, Eternal Roofing.
Dude, you are on it today. You're carrying the show, Ben.
I'm doing my best.
You're the all-star. You're the all-star. You just are today, and so is Taylor Anderson and his crew at Eternal Roofing. We've told you about the roofing work they can do, and we told you about general contracting, but we didn't go into detail. So let's do that a little bit for you. They can paint the interior, exterior, your home or business, install your gutters, garage doors. They can put in floors, perform any woodworking need. If you need any crown molding done, any shelf work, they can repair sheetrock, which, you know, some of us could run through a sheetrock over a brick wall, and are the choice, like we've said, when you need your Christmas lights. And so I want to, Ben, did you see that tweet I sent today about I'm running through sheetrock because there's no way I'm getting through a brick wall?
I didn't, but I need to go look it up now.
Yeah. The way I'm working today, I forgot even what I was talking about at that point. But let's see. Good God, man. Every time I do this, I realize I post too dang much.
Cover a lot of schools or something like that.
I know, right? A lot of retweeting. Oh, it was Joey McGuire. That's who it was. The insider piece on Joey when he talked about how the quote was, the excitement, support, and resources pumping into this program eliminate excuses. And I like that. We've put ourselves in a position to compete from a facilities and collective standpoint to make a real run as a football program. Now it's my job to make sure we're putting that product on the field. Dude, I can't make it through no way in hell I'm getting through a brick wall.
Sheetrock, though.
Sheetrock, man, for Joey, I'm all up in there. And I wouldn't even like it because I don't like being messy like that. Like, you know, you bust sheetrock, it gets all over your clothes and stuff.
But you'd do it for Joey.
I'd do it for Joey. That's how much I like Joey.
You'd also give Eternal Roofing some business.
I would give Eternal Roofing a lot of business. You know what? We're going to have to get back to this in just a second because I have something funny to tell you. But as far as Eternal Roofing goes, we want you to contact Taylor Anderson and his crew. Like we've told you, they do amazing work. Give them a call, Hill Country, area code 830-251-5673. Montgomery office, area code 936-215-8539, or you can contact Taylor at eternalroofingtx.com. And remember, go to eternalroofingtx.com, check out their gallery and the amazing work that they do. So, Ben, last night I'm at a Sputters, Wichita Falls Sputters baseball game. And by the way, my son's a pretty good hitter.
Switch hitter too, right?
We're working Almost. On it. We're yeah. working on it. Does when he hits left-handed right now, and mind you, he will be 8 here next week. When he hits left-handed, the ball makes it back to the pitcher's mound on a regulation size field. When he hits the ball right-handed, it makes it out to second base and shortstop.
Getting there.
So the power isn't quite there yet, but that's about bat control as you take it through the zone to keep it level. And now I'm really getting into nerd baseball talk for you.
Launch angle.
No, I don't go launch angle. I just worry about trying to keep that, let the front hand lead the bat through the zone, keeping it level. And then it doesn't matter what your back arm does. It's just along for the ride because all your power comes from your hips anyway.
Yep.
Some baseball stuff. But anyway, I'm at a Wichita Falls Sputters game. My phone rings. I was like, oh, I got to take this. So I go away. Conversation lasts for, I don't know, a little while. I come back, and my daughter said, if I was to call, would you answer my call right? Yeah. No. I mean, look, there's a list of people that if I'm watching my son play baseball, there's a very small list of people that are going to get through, right? You better be high on the importance at that time. Not saying everyone is important, But at that time, you can have more importance if I know you might be bringing some news. So, yeah. If my daughter did it, I'd send her a message and say, watching your brother play baseball, what you want? Right? But right. I'm not doing that to people calling me, giving me very good information.
unless she's a source. She's got some info or something.
And she better get busy if she's a source. I need her to get out there and start getting some darn info.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, look, it's a small list of important people they get through on a phone call normally anyway. I'm not a big phone talker. I will if it's a coach or someone I normally – but I tend to like texting more often, especially during the day when I've got my iPad and keyboard up and it's just quicker.
Yep.
It just is. By the way, I saw here – since we've started this show, that Taylor Hearn and his wife are expecting a baby.
Taylor Hearn?
Taylor Hearn, former Texas Rangers baseball pitcher. The World Series ring from being on the team last year. He is over in Japan now, and they're expecting a little one. So
I thought you were, speaking of baseball, I thought you were talking about Ryan O'Hearn for the Baltimore Orioles from Sam Houston. I thought you were saying his name wrong. I was all sorts of confused.
Yeah, no, I actually had this one right. Surprising.
There
today,
you go.
Right?
There you go. Starting to carry the podcast again.
I'm starting to find my groove as we near what should have probably been the end about 20 minutes ago. Anyhow, yes. And Sean O'Hearn, I saw he's doing great things. And so is Colton Cowser. Right? Okay. Colton Cowser hit his first home run for Baltimore.
Ryan O'Hearn.
Huh?
You said Sean O'Hearn.
Oh, my bad. Ryan O'Hearn. See, I got him confused with a former football player from Rutgers that played a center. Totally different name, but
there you go. But yeah, Colton Cowser, American League Player of the Week, which was pretty cool. Really cool to see.
Yeah, glad to see his bat get going. He didn't get off to the greatest start the first week, but boy, he got that going. He's going to be fun to watch.
He's going to be awesome, and it's cool to see the Baltimore Bearcats go out there and slug it. I know there was a game last week where Ryan O'Hearn and Colton Cowser both hit a homer in the same game, which is pretty cool since they're both Bearcats.
Baltimore Bearcats. You think we should call them the BBs?
Rolls off the tongue, and they've got the same colors.
Could we call them the Killer Bees?
No, that's the old Houston Astros.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, now that we're talking about bat and ball sports, let's get into that a little more. Because while the Cats and the pros are doing great things, the Cats in college been a little up and down. They lost three of the last four, and these were times they needed to win these. They're at home a lot. Here's my question for you, Ben. They are 21-16. They are 4-8 in Conference USA. Have they reached the point where they're going to have to win the conference tournament to make it into the NCAA tournament this year?
Yeah, on the baseball side, they are pretty much there. I think I told you last week, I gave them three losses in the rest of conference play if they wanted to be an at-large. And so they've taken up two of them, so I think they've got to go 11-1. So they're pretty much at the point where they've got to win out, win the conference tournament. That's the only way to get in. Probably really no path to an at-large now unless you win every game the rest of the season to get to the conference championship game, which seems highly unlikely. So, yeah, probably got to win the conference tournament.
Yeah, and, I mean, you got some good – you got Texas left. That's a game you should win, right?
Texas. Yeah, after what UTRGV just did to them.
Look, the Longhorns can't pitch, man. They hit nine batters and walked nine or something crazy like that last night. They gave up so many free passes. And then what's funny is David Pierce was like, I got to get it fixed. Yeah, because you became the pitching coach because you fired the last two, fool.
I know.
Anyway.
That would be fun to beat them, though. That would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And what happened to Baylor? They're not as good this year.
They haven't been good the past few years. We throttled them last time we played them 18-3, and you get them one more time next week in the midweek.
Is Steve still there? Is he still there, coach? Is it
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't. But my goodness, hey, look, that trip to Louisiana Tech at the J.C. Love Field, that looks like a tough.
It does. And the remaining conference schedule, you've got three of maybe the worst teams in conference. FIU is probably middle of the pack. But FIU, Middle Tennessee, and Jack State, you've got to win all three of those series. And Louisiana Tech's going to be really tough, especially when it's at Louisiana Tech. They're playing some really good ball right now.
Yeah, and that I think that loss on the road last night was a killer too. You know, 7-9 on the road. You need to be at that 500 mark right now. Needed to win that game at McNeese. Those midweek games can be very, very tough on you. You know, when it comes to that at-large resume.
Right, and we were already struggling, and then going and losing to a middle of the pack Southland team does not help.
So now they've got Middle Tennessee State. Is this a sweep coming this weekend?
I think it definitely could be. I think it's – I don't know if panic is the right word or panic mode is the right word, but maybe a sense of urgency is starting to creep in, hopefully. Maybe you're a little frustrated and upset, and it's a series that you should win. Middle Tennessee's one of the teams down there at the bottom of the conference, and so would be very nice to get a sweep.
I don't like, you know, when you're playing baseball, playing under pressure and panic and feeling that really can hinder, because baseball simply comes down to who throws, catches, and hits the ball better that day.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. And if you're a little tight, you're a little behind on a fastball, or you're a little ahead of a breaking pitch, or that ball, you're a little worried when it's coming to you, you might not field it, instead of confident and watching that ball into the glove. That's why I'm always a big fan, especially in baseball, of just playing loose and playing relaxed out there and just enjoying the game.
No, I agree. But, I mean, it just kind of feels like we've taken our foot off the gas. I mean, the beginning of the year just felt like there was so much momentum, probably the first 20 games, and then these past 10 to 12, it just kind of feels like you're taking your foot off the gas. So I guess just trying to find a way to get things rolling again, however that looks like.
The dog days of April.
Right, yeah, 40 games into the season.
it starts to wear on you. They're still going to class, too, you know?
Yeah, that's true. A little bit different than the MLB. So.
It is. It does wear on you. It does. And hey, softball, they lost 2 of 3 on the road to UTEP. However, they rebounded. They beat Houston Christian 3-0 on Tuesday. Played McNeese. We're recording this on Wednesday, so tonight. And then they're off this weekend before they go meet nationally ranked Texas A&M. Anything on the softball team we should know?
Yeah, I think this is probably the best ball we've been playing all season. You take a sweep against, I believe it was Middle Tennessee. You grab one at UTEP, probably should have been two. I think you were tied in the 6th, 7th inning of the first game and lost it. And then you won the last game, you won in the midweek. So you've won 5 out of 7, which is good. And the pitching just continues to be very good. Your two freshman pitchers and Amy Abke and Abigail Young just continue to perform well. And so they might be peaking at the right time, and they're kind of inching their way back up to the middle of the standings in Conference USA after a really slow start. So hopefully they can continue that run and work their way up to somewhere in the middle of Conference USA.
One of these days, not today, because, you know, my fried brain has already gone in so many different directions. But in one of these days, we need to soon here before this school year ends, we're going to have a pretty much probably an episode talking about the difference between the WAC and Conference USA and what we've seen from the different programs. Is there anything we can glean from that? These are things that I think this is a conversation. Obviously, it would be almost an entire show to really get into, dive into these and discuss these from a program level. And then, you know, how much did that move help and how much did that move hurt? We've seen golf win. We've seen basketball win. We've seen some other struggles. So that's going to be something we're going to have to get into here probably in a month or so.
Yeah, year in review. First year in Conference USA, year in review, something along those lines.
Dude, write it up.
There you go.
Write it. get it done.
That's your job.
Oh, Rudd, I forgot about that. Now I got to do it. Dang it. Gave myself more work.
Working your way up the totem pole.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to remember to, I don't know, breathe right now. Ben, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate you. We want to give a big thank you to everyone who is listening and watching. Without you, I'm not here losing track of everything going on during this podcast. Until next time, Ben, it's going to be a fun weekend. Take us out, man. Get us ready.
Eat them up, cats, and get to campus on Saturday for a good day of athletics.
Go get into Cat Fund. Meet Casey Keeler.